Next up on the Nolan Show, last week a headmaster decided to put his foot down when it came to the subject of wearing the correct school uniform. We've all been there many years ago for myself, but he has basically said, including, you're not allowed to wear trendy shoes, short skirts, trainers, overt jewellery or general scruffiness. The result was a full-scale backlash from pupils and their parents at Hartsdown Academy in England. Many accused the principal of taking the rules too far, with some parents actually removing their children from the school. But is the headmaster right to enforce his strict policy? On the line, journalist Fionnuala Meredith and vice principal of the Holy Cross Primary School, Chris Donnelly. Good morning to you both.
Morning, Vinny.
Good morning, Vinny.
Fionnuala, are you surprised at this?
Not really. I think there's definitely an argument for school uniform. I get that makes sense, but I think sometimes it gets taken to extremes, and parents and young people, you know, quite reasonably feel a little bit frustrated. I suppose it makes me laugh because my daughter's now left school, but before she left school, she decided at one point to dye her hair purple over the summer.
Right.
She went back in. She couldn't get rid of the purple. She went back in September, and obviously that didn't go down well with the school, which I understand. They were never going to say, yeah, that's absolutely fine, go for it. So she had a bit of trouble with the school, and she was told she was going against the grain of the school. She was setting a bad example to the younger pupils. And her attitude was, yeah, okay, but, you know, I get good marks. I'm a really regular attender. I volunteer in the school. So, you know, why should my hair be a problem? It doesn't affect my learning. And, you know, of course I had to be, you know, strict mommy about it and say, we have to get this sorted. But I thought, well, yeah, she has a bit of a point.
Do you admit, though, Fionnuala, that if one kid comes in with purple hair or, you know, decides to dye their hair green, and that if the school says, right, OK, we don't like it, but fair enough, is that not set an example then to the other children? Can be very much, you know, repetitive. They like to copy each other. If there's a trend on, and then it goes from moving from that strict uniform to kind of spiraling out of control.
Well, that's it. I think if only children knew the power that they have for complete anarchy, you know, if all the children decide to do it, you know, what's the school going to be able to do? But, yeah, of course, you know, there are limits, and, you know, she was definitely pushing the limits there. But I think, you know, in terms of more minor and incursions against uniform, I really think that there has to be some room for manoeuvre. Like, you know, I remember, again, previously at the school, and I don't want to name the school, so it's a great school, but, you know, there were issues around, you know, you couldn't have a little black bow on your black school shoes, that would be a very bad thing. You know, you think, come on, a sense of proportion is needed.
Chris, a lot of kids, you know, they want a little bit of flair, a little bit of style. If they want a black bow on their shoes, then surely that's all right. It's just another form of young people expressing themselves.
Yes, I understand that point, but I think it's always unfortunate when a school ends up in the news in such a manner. I mean, no, a school leader engaged in a quarrel with parents in front of pupils and the broadcast media is not something anyone would set out to achieve. So I think there are steps which I'm sure the headmaster wishes he could revisit. But I think in principle, I believe Matthew Tate is on firm ground with what he's trying to achieve here. He did inform parents well in advance at the end of the last academic term what would constitute the appropriate uniform. So there can't be any excuses in that regard. But this is something much larger. You see, you know, what is the job we expect of school leaders, most specifically those we task with leading school communities in the areas of greatest deprivation, where the odds are already stacked well against our children? And to my mind, it's to deliver a rounded education, develop and nurture children, prepare them with skills and knowledge to be full participants and contributors to society, give them values and a sense of moral purpose. But it's also, I think it's very specific to these types of school communities, which does apply in this case to Hartsdown Academy. The job of a school leader is also to endeavour to close the gaps in terms of aspiration and achievement. And that will entail having to take measures aimed at raising the bar of expectation to cultivate a sense of shared purpose. Challenge which helps to transform perception.
But what does this all mean, Chris? A shared purpose? You know, is there not a line that a headmaster or headmistress would have to follow in terms of how strict to be? School, for many people, I hated school most of my time at school because I found it really difficult, not just the rules, but just the general environment. So for a lot of other people, a lot of pupils, something like this is not going to make you want to, on a Monday morning, bounce onto that school bus or into that yard any quicker.
Yes, but what this is about is, in a sense, the uniform as the collective sense of belonging for those in the school community. But more importantly, it's part of a contract that parents and pupils make with the school. Now, there's only one very visible and practical way of raising a bar of expectation alongside the uniform. You have schools' expectation of pupil conduct, of pupil attitude to authority, attitude to their own work. So in a cumulative sense, these form the basis for schools, you know, taking the vital steps to close the gaps and try to jump the hurdles, which can often prove insurmountable for children, you know, as they strive to realise their full academic potential.
I think the problem, though, Vinnie, is that when uniform requires this sort of disproportionately important status, that, you know, children are there at school to learn. I think we can all agree, and I agree with all of what Chris has said about, you know, the need for belonging and the need for a sort of level playing field in terms of all the pupils feeling equal. But if you start turning uniform into such a big deal, then you're basically turning it into an issue of discipline and non-compliance. And if pupils don't comply, then you're going to be into all sorts of bother. So I think the difficulty is when uniform assumes too much importance. And then, you know, if you're going to make that outweigh everything else, then you've got a problem.
I think it's only in the first instance, Lula. This is only going to be a problem when you're trying to establish that culture within a school community. But I would have experience within my own school community. We'd be quite strict on uniform. It's not an issue anymore because parents have long accepted it, not just on uniform, but on appearance. We don't allow less than a number 2 haircut.
So is this an element of rebellion among parents as well as the pupils? Because, you know, a lot of us don't like to be told what to do, whether that's, you know, how we drive our cars or how we dress our kids for school, Chris?
I think that's part of it. I mean, if you look at the context of the Hearthstone Academy story, some people arrive to school in full tracksuits. Others are wearing skin-tight trousers, jeans and trainers. Now, that tells me right away, as a school leader, that there was a problem with the culture within that school community. I mean, I know I've read up about this story. I mean, Hartswood itself belongs to a wider group of Coastal Academies Trust, it's called. And the chief executive of that group is on record as describing Hearthstone as being perceived by people in the community as a scruffy school. Now, no school would set out to be described as a scruffy school by a leading school figure. So clearly there was a job of work that Matthew Tate had to undertake, and it was going to be difficult at the start.
Yeah, and he decided to take quite a tough line. I want to bring in some calls just at this point, Chris. Graham in Portadown. Good morning, Graham.
Good morning, Vinnie, just another paramount little megalomaniac imposing their little dictatorial policies. They're not even rules, they're just policies.
But where do you draw the line, though? If you're going to have a uniform in a school, what's the point in having it if you're not going to try and enforce it? Otherwise, just let them wear what they want. Don't have a uniform.
The word uniform disgusts me because we're bringing kids up as clones. We're not bringing them up as individuals to express themselves. What are schools producing? An education or clones. We don't want our children to be stripped of their personality, of their self-expression. What these people want to do is make every child conform. Do you know what I say today? My motto, rebel before it's late.
Chris, rebellion, it's too late. You're bringing up clones.
Yeah, I mean, I don't accept that at all. I mean, in fact, ironically...
Of course, Chris.
Let Chris respond to that. Go ahead, Chris.
The school curriculum, particularly primary school curriculum in the modern era, is more so than ever before, tries to encourage individualism, tries to encourage opportunities for discussion and debate and for children to contribute much more than in the past when perhaps we were more knowledge-based. Now with the focus on skills, it's about allowing for those opportunities. The uniform plays a part, of course, but as I'm trying to get across, that it's really only something that a school leaders would try to ensure that the culture was right, and then you move beyond discussions regarding uniform.
Okay. Graham, just going back to the issue, one of the things that this headmaster was very much clamping down on was trendy shoes. Now, I remember from school, and I'm sure it is the same now, that there can be quite expensive trends that go through schools. And now, whether that is with shoes, trainers for PE, the type of tracksuit bottoms you wear for PE, And then that puts a lot of pressure onto the parents to try and provide these for their young people, for their kids, because if they don't, then they're the one that's left out. So by a school saying, you can't wear trendy shoes, you must wear these, they cost 20 quid as opposed to those other ones that cost 70, 80, 90. Is that not working towards trying to help the parents and help the kid that won't then be left out?
Chris, where would I call it? Sorry, Vinny. Listen, what we're doing is trying to educate our children. We're not teaching them dress sense. We're not teaching them how mommy can't afford them.
Yeah, but it's difficult for any kid that's at school if they can't go on the school trip, because their parents don't have the money.
Life is full of difficulties. The sooner they learn that lesson, the better. They can't expect to have the most fashionable shoes. They can't expect to have the biggest car, the flashiest house. Life is about disappointments as well, and we've got to teach them a few disappointments. What shoes you wear does not, in fact, affect your intelligence.
It's a life lesson, is what you're saying, Graham.
Or your ability to learn. What these people should be focusing on is how they improve our children's education, not by controlling them under every strict little bureaucratic piece of
This is great. I must say I'm enjoying this nonconformism. We live in a very conformist society, and it's no wonder that children do want to rebel. I think it's a healthy thing. Of course, that has to be within limits in school, or schools would be unworkable. But, you know, it really, really, whether you have, you know, remember there was a trend for kids to have really, you know, their ties tied all fat and really thick, and then there's a trend for it to be really thin, and, you know, schools were clamping down on that. For goodness sake, whether they have a fat or a thin tie, does that really matter? Does that affect their learning? So a little bit of non-conformity, I think, is healthy.
Chris, do you think that bullying could be an issue if children were allowed to wear what they wanted to school?
I don't know if bullying really is the issue. I think there is a context in terms of the uniform also stops parents from having to, you know, buy much more clothes for the children. Obviously, I'm a parent myself. I know that the uniforms cost a bit. You try to buy 3 or 4 of each item at the start of the academic year and see how you can go throughout the year. But I think if parents were having to buy clothes, and yes, of course, of a culture of trying to outdo one another set about, then that could be an issue. But I do believe that the uniform plays a part in terms of the developing and cultivating how you want the ethos and the culture of the school to develop. And that's the context of this particular discussion, because that's what the job that is facing, Matthew Tate in his own school. I mean, one of the things schools are judged by is their, particularly post-primary schools, their GCSE pass rate. I mean, in England, in the comparative schools would be sitting at 56-57% of children getting 5 good GCSEs. Hartswood is just 36%. So that's the context.
Yeah. You can't say that that's the same across the board, though, Chris. I mean, there's plenty of instances that have been well demonstrated of schools with no uniform whatsoever getting excellent results. So you can't just make an automatic correlation between those two things.
Fionnuala, were you a bit of a rebel at school, Fionnuala?
Yeah, a little bit.
And anything you did that got you in trouble with the teachers?
Yeah, no, I kind of, all my insurrection I tried to do in a kind of private way, so I didn't get caught.
All right, you're one of the sly ones.
Yeah.
I remember your type from school. Never liked your type. I had an undercut. I had these stupid curtains haircut. So it's kind of flopped down. You get the line down the middle of your head and they flopped down either side.
Oh, yeah.
And that wasn't enough for me. So I got an undercut, which basically meant that underneath that, the curtains was shaved up to nearly the top of my head. I looked
That's
like a
rebellious.
Complete... Well, it was rebellious, but I looked like a fool. And I was told off by the teacher. It was sent home. And whereas I, you know, at the time, I thought I was being badly done by, hard done by. When I reflect now, really, they were teaching me a lesson. It was almost in my favour because I didn't do it again. And now when I look back, I think, well, that's a good thing. Pat's on the line as well. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
I think we need to make a distinction between uniform in terms of clothes and uniform in terms of the way you're expected to groom yourself. Yeah. I always thought the whole purpose of the uniformity of clothes was to take the competition out of the school. Children of poor parents and children of rich parents, children of rich parents being able to come in and show off their status with expensive clothes.
Yes.
You know, sort of uniformity of what he called, that's the uniform.
Yes, have you got the latest shoes?
Everybody's the same.
Or the latest trainers, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how did you find it at school with you? Did you have a uniform, Pat?
Oh, there was a uniform, but it was very, very minimal when I was there. Yeah.
What was it?
I think uniform when I was there back in the 50s was whether it was a school tie, if you wanted to.
And do you think that would you have preferred back then if there was a very strict uniform that every day when you got up there was something you had to wear?
No, actually I wouldn't.
So it made no difference to you?
No.
So really that you're counteracting your own point here?
I'm talking about from my point of view.
Yes.
Okay, looking at it from the school's point of view in terms of having children in, and there's a big difference between when I was going to school and, sort of going to school now. Like, there's a real sort of fashion competition between children from the very youngest age. Yeah, you have now. I can't remember anything like that when I was going to school, yeah?
Yeah. Stephen and Derry, good morning.
Good morning, Vinny.
Go ahead.
I think uniforms are a great idea. First and foremost, the schools are really getting these young people ready for the workplace. It's not just for being kids. They're getting them ready for going out into the workplace as adults. And part of that is discipline, Vinny. You just can't, you know, do what you want through school because that continues on to your adult life. And children will do when they're adults as they have done as children. You know, and another point about it is, Vinny, truancy is a very big problem in schools. And if someone's up the town here in Derry, maybe in a uniform, they're much more easily identified as coming from a particular school if they've got the uniform on.
And is that a positive or a negative? What's the benefit of that?
I think it's a positive thing because at least people, maybe a teacher off duty or out of work that day could identify these children as being not at school and should be at school and maybe reported to the school that these boys are running around the town.
What about
something was to happen?
Stephen, what about the element of how strictly the uniform is implemented? So if you have to wear black shoes, black outfit, your blazer or whatever, but if you decide to do your tie in a certain way, if you have your shirt hanging out, if you have your skirt a bit short or you're wearing jewellery, you know, are there issues there? There was one of the complaints from this school where a young girl had her stud earrings confiscated in school.
I think one of the problems, Vinny, is that parents nowadays want to be their children's friend. And that really doesn't work. Because you've got to be first and foremost, you've got to be disciplined with your children. If you're not, if you're seen as being your children's friend up the town, shopping with them, out at the weekend, maybe having a drink with them, how are you going to implement that discipline, Vinny? And I think that the schools, if you take some columns here and there with, I think, 1,700 children, if 1,690 of them are doing the right thing and 10 of them aren't, that doesn't look right and it doesn't feel right for the other children that are doing it right. So I think uniform is there to be disciplined. It's there to be adhered to by the whole school.
Okay.
And unfortunately, if some of them don't do it, then, you know, they're breaking the rules.
All right. Thank you, Stephen. Robert, good morning.
Morning.
Go ahead.
For me, everybody struggles to get the money together to get uniforms. I have three children at three separate schools. Three different uniforms, so you get double up for every one of them. Then you're told to get PE kits from the school, which costs a fortune. They add their bit on. If you went and bought them somewhere else, it costs you a lot cheaper. Then they have a brass neck to send notes home to your house saying, we're not wearing uniform tomorrow, but you have to pay not to wear it. You know what I mean?
And what do you think to that?
I think it's a joke. It's a joke. If they're going to make people struggle to get the money, then they're making people... Nah, it's only a couple of pounds, but some people haven't got a couple of pounds. They send them to school and they let their child go in dressed in normal clothes. You know what I mean? I think that's a joke.
Is it important to have a uniform, as that last caller was suggesting, to, you know, discipline, basically being told what to do? Because when you get older in life as an adult, you will be told what to do more than likely.
Yes, I think it's important to wear a uniform. That keeps all the kids the same. But the point is, it's the cost of it. And then now it's getting into PE gear. They're moving into PE uniforms. You have to wear your own PE uniform at the schoolhouse. When I was at school, you wore whatever you wanted, the PE. Now you're having to wear these. And it's all, they're top of range, cost you a fortune for it. You know, it's a joke. And you have to get to and see of everything.
Yeah, there were issues. I'm not sure if this is still the case, where some schools you had to buy, the PE from a certain shop or a certain place, and therefore you couldn't shop around to try and get the cheapest price that you wanted.
Exactly, or else you have to go through the school to get it. And it's costing a fortune.
Okay. Robert, thank you. We'll squeeze in Geraldine. Last call on this. Geraldine, go ahead.
Good morning. Actually, there was someone on before you who talks about parents wanting to be the friend of their child. It's the sort of the insecurity of adults, really. You know, I would. My parents would never dream of not supporting another adult. Like, the adults were united because they have to be. In a school when there's one headmaster and he's got to deal with how many children? And the parents have one or two at home that they have to deal with and train. He's got all these kids, and yet the parents will actually support their own child against the authority figure in the school. I mean, it's ludicrous.
So is it the parents that need to grow up, Geraldine?
Well, absolutely. I mean, the parents are still identifying with the rebellion of their own children. They haven't matured, you see. And so therefore they say, I'd do the same thing if I was in there. But I mean, they're supposed to be the authority figure. And I know the word authority is very, oh, don't use that anymore. We're all equal, even from the age of two. You have to treat a two-year-old like they're your peer when you're 75, which is ludicrous. You know, children are children. And children.
Vinny, can I say something?
Yes, yes. Go ahead. Very, very quickly, we're going to move on. Thanks. Go ahead, Chris.
I think Geraldine is onto something. I would expect children to be children That's what being a child, being adolescent, about pushing boundaries. But I also expect adults to be adults then. And that's what the uniform is about. It's essentially a contract that a school community will have with its parents as well as with its children. And it's about establishing that the boundaries, and then hoping that from there we can further raise the bar in other areas.
Okay. All right. Chris Donnelly, thank you very much. And Fionnuala Meredith, thank you very much as well.